Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Major piece of legislation for the Trump administration is this one big, beautiful bill. It is big, and it's beautiful in many people's eyes. Some are, you know, concerned about the cost of that. We'll talk about that. Congressman Troy Downing is joining us here today. He supports this big, beautiful bill, so we'll ask about the inner workings of that, so to speak, and get into that. Let's welcome from Washington, D.C., Montana Congressman Troy Downing. I hate to say it from Washington, D.C., because, your home's in Montana, Troy. You just work in Washington.
I was just going to say, you were teasing me there a little bit, talking about how nice it is in Montana right now, and I'm in a hot, muggy, swampy D.C. right now. So you kind of made my heart sink there a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you get out here an awful lot. In fact, you were just out here for an extended visit and you rolled into Signal Peak. I mean, I thought that was really cool. You told us a story last time how you brought some coal back to Washington, D.C.
That was a fun story. I've gotten some mileage out of that. Actually pulling a piece of coal out of the ground myself, flying it to D.C., and walking it into the White House to present to the president. I thought that was a pretty cool opportunity. But we spent all last week. We had a down week, so we put in, I haven't added up the miles, probably a couple of thousand miles of windshield time. You know, we were in Billings for a bunch of, and in Laurel for a bunch of Memorial Day events. We were in Conrad, we were in at Malmstrom Air Force Base, we were in Helena, we were in Shodo. I mean, we were all over that part of the district, and we'll try to get to the other part next time they let me go home for more than a day.
You're a combat veteran, and thank you for your service, and distinguished as well. Two tours in Afghanistan, U.S. Air Force Combat Rescue Unit. Today, and I want to thank my colleagues for reminding me of this as well, it's D-Day. And that's when the Allies landed in Normandy. I mean, this changed the course of the world on this date in 1944. You, as a military veteran, that's probably on your calendar every year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely a moment of pause to think about the sacrifices and what those before us have done to make sure that we enjoy the freedoms and safety that we have. Every time something like that comes up, Memorial Day or one of these, thoughts about, the loss of life, but the victories and that we've done and the everything that we've done to protect this nation, it gives me pause to think about all those who have given so much to make sure that we have what we have.
Yeah. Thank you for that, too. And thank you to all of you who have done that. I mean, we understand how important our freedoms are because we see around the world there are many that don't live but have those kinds of choices. And just so preserving that, it's got to be real high on everybody's list. Let's I want to get into this because, you know, we've talked about it here and there. There's some pros and cons. This is the one big, beautiful bill. You're in favor of it. There's some concerns about the cost of that. I mean, and I know the Congressional Budget Office has come out with a forecast, and I don't think they've taken into all things into consideration regarding that. Yeah. But tell us why you like it.
Let me just start out with the CBO because that's really, I think, the crux of a lot of the concerns that folks have on whether this is adding to the deficit or not. The CBO has been notoriously wrong. On the biggest, most important things that the CBO has tried to predict, it has been wrong. And I strongly believe that it's wrong now. And the problem is the CBO is taking a very, static look and not a dynamic look at what this reconciliation bill, what this one big, beautiful bill is doing to supercharge the economy. Tax cuts that charges the economy. People have more money in their pockets. They spend more money. That's an economic driver. Having these spending cuts, I think that's going to be good for the economy. Being energy dominant. There's so many things that I really believe are going to spark the economy and make up that deficit that CBO is falsely predicting. And so I'm feeling very bullish on this. I mean, let's look at what we actually have in front of us. We have an historic opportunity to pass this bill. We'll never have this opportunity again. It's the largest tax cuts in the history of the United States. It's the largest spending cuts in the history of the United States. It unleashes American energy. It protects our borders. There's so much in there that we need. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it makes sure that it makes those, reinstates, makes those permanent. And one thing that's really big to small businesses, and especially Montana farmers and ranchers, is it keeps that death tax at bay, and it doesn't force heirs of a, you know, farm or ranch to have to sell production agricultural land to pay their tax bill. So that's more impetus, or more, you know, more expectation of keeping agricultural land in agriculture. And I've said this on your show many times, that that's a problem that's bigger than Montana. That's not just something for the Montana farmers and ranchers. That's a national issue. We need to keep producing food. And I think that, you know, we're on a collision course if we don't, you know, take care of our farmers and ranchers to stop being able to produce food. And I think that's one of the biggest national security threats that we face as a nation right now. So to put a bow on that, you can't let perfect be the enemy of good. And this is a really good bill. It's historic. I will probably never have an opportunity to have this much meaningful change in my career here. I think that this is a generational opportunity. We need to get this through. And there's things that I wish were different. You know, there's things that I would change in it. But the end of the day, we have to get 218 votes in the House, and then we have to get 51 votes in the Senate. And so there's going to be some concessions to get that done. But the parts that I'm not, you know, particularly happy about are nothing compared to the benefits that this is going to do to Montanans and to the American people with these tax cuts and unleashing the American economy. So I'm incredibly bullish. I'm going to go on the record right now saying that I think that, you know, President Trump is right here. I think that the House passed a good, strong bill. I think that they're right here. And I know there's been a lot of lashing out on social media, but I firmly stand behind President Trump, because this one big, beautiful bill is a once in a lifetime opportunity for me. And we need to get this passed.
I appreciate, you know, your response on that as well. And there's a lot that people have to look in there. I mean, there's, you know, raises the standard deduction by $4,000 for seniors. And there's a lot of stuff in there, like you say, that people are probably not talking about. They're focusing on the CBO estimate, and you're right. I mean, and I went and talked about this yesterday when they talked about the Affordable Care Act. They estimated $938 billion, and that price tag has come up to about $1.4 trillion. So
They're notoriously wrong.
Well, and they're restricted as well in terms of, so they can't fully consider those separate cuts in a separate package and things like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem. And I think that's where people, you know, get confused about what the long-term effect is going to be. And what I'm focused on right now is I know that lowering or keeping the tax cuts in place, making those permanent, I know that that's an economic driver. And, you know, outside of this bill, I look at the trade policy. I was just looking at a headline on a newspaper on my desk this morning about the trade deficit actually getting better for the United States of America. You know, we are exporting more. But the other part that, you know, and I know that there's folks that had, you know, reservations about the tariff and trade policy that came out of the White House. But I'm going to tell you, you know, it's working. We've got hundreds of billions of dollars being reinvested in the United States, bringing businesses back here. We've got everything from, you know, Hyundai to Johnson & Johnson to, you know, just across the board. And that's part of the equation. But the other part of the equation is the hundreds of thousands of jobs. And you get hundreds and thousands of more jobs, that starts to make a positive impact on the economy. People start making more money. They have better paying jobs. They start spending more money. And that all drives this the economy up. And I think that the part that we're not really clearly appreciating is what that supercharging of the economy is going to do to make up for the prediction of CBO on having this being an increaser of the deficit, because I think that we can supercharge the economy to make up for that.
Montana Congressman Troy Downing with us, a combat veteran, successful entrepreneur, former state auditor for the state of Montana, began his career in tech, founding a startup that eventually merged with Yahoo, and that became his nickname in the U.S. Air Force. In line with this, Congressman, I know your time is limited here today, and I appreciate you stopping in. Nancy in Roundup has a question that kind of leads into what you had just talked about. Go ahead, Nancy, and thank you for joining us. You're on the air with Congressman Downing.
Well, good morning, Congressman, and God bless you for your service for our military and defense. And we know my concern is with China. So many American pharmaceutical companies went to China, and correct me if I'm wrong, 95% of our over-the-counter drugs are made in Chinese labs. And we just had a frightening scare, a red fungus pathogen, and also we know the Wuhan virus came from China. So I don't think Americans are very comfortable with the Chinese making our medications. What do you know about the pharmaceutical companies? Are they going to come back to the United States?
Great question, Nancy.
Yeah, and my other question, quick. Can a gag order be placed on Elon Musk for what he's doing to President Trump and interfering with our executive branch? And thank you, sir, and have a great weekend.
Well, Nancy, thank you, and God bless you as well. I appreciate your call. I mean, China is obviously, a concern. It's, we've obviously got an adversarial relationship. And I got to tell you, when I first heard about that research lab at that university and those Chinese researchers bringing that fungus in, that scared the heck out of me. I mean, because that could have not just national implications, but that could have global implications depending on how bad that is and how much that expands. But it really goes down to some of the policy that we've already been working on here in Congress and actually have gotten it through the House. Is pulling back CCP influence on our, our higher education, on our research institutions, and make sure that we don't have an adversarial nation that's influencing what's going on there, and potentially sending, folks there on student visas that are trying to harm, or potentially can harm, the United States of America. I'm still a little flabbergasted at, kind of dodging a bullet there on what that could have meant, not just for American agriculture, but for, feeding the world. So I think we need to be really diligent about that kind of stuff. And then going back to your other question about pharmaceuticals, I know a lot of the precursors are coming out of China, and we need to not be dependent on them. I think that's a huge issue for the United States of America. I think it's a huge issue for our security. And I think one of the things that is really helping that is this trade policy and these tariffs, basically onshoring investment and securing supply chains, is in our national interest. And that's something that we need to be very diligent on and make sure that we have no place of our supply chains, especially on things that we're very dependent on, like precursors to pharmaceuticals, from an adversarial nation. So this is something that we're looking at, that we're actually passing bills in the House to deal with, and we're going to continue being diligent on that to make sure that we keep the United States of America secure.
Congressman, thank you for that response. Appreciate that. We only have just a couple more minutes here. I want to take this one because I've been curious about this. I know that you've got expertise and you serve on the Financial Services and Small Business Committees and a real high-level committee in Congress. Some of the things that you're trying to pass there is a bill to expand access to capital for rural small businesses. Now, we'll be talking, and you and I did a show last year when you were the auditor for the state of Montana. Gosh, I can't believe it was just a year ago. Maybe it was even two, how time flies. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, actually. Thanks for coming out for that.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to do that with Jim Brown on Thursday as well. But this is in line with that. Talk about how rural small businesses in Montana can better access this capital. What will this bill do?
Well, this is something that's really important to me personally because, it's easier being in a population center to have entrepreneurs having easier access to investors and being able to fund their ideas and build their companies. And I think that to some extent, our rural communities have kind of been, left behind on that. So I actually brought a bill in financial services that actually made it through committee. So it made it through markup. So this should see a vote on the House floor here at some point. But, essentially it's access. The SEC has an office of the Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation. And this bill requires it to identify problems that small businesses face when securing access to capital, and they have to submit these reports to Congress so that Congress understands what the problem is and how we can deal with this. And so, my bill is basically requiring the Office of the Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation to add rural small businesses to its list of applicable entities. And so this is just kind of the opening salvo in identifying, problems and then figuring out how we can solve these problems so that there is access for somebody that's, face it, most of Montana is rural, so that Montanans have the same opportunities to build a business and to find capital from investors that somebody would in a, more urban area. And I think that's incredibly important because we need to make sure we level this playing field for Montana. And you don't have to simply go to Silicon Valley or New York or one of the big cities to be able to build a business. So I'm really excited about getting this through. There's a number of things that we're trying to do to make it easier to streamline the ability to get capital. And, one of the biggest limiting factors to a family's, economic freedom, economic success, or to building a small business is access to capital. And so we're looking at this very strongly. And I'm just going to tie this back to the one big, beautiful bill, because this one big, beautiful bill, if it was not to pass, we'd see the largest tax increase in history. An average Montana's tax would go up 26%. Average Montana small business would be 43% increase. And so when I say access to capital is that biggest limiting factor, the best capital you can access is your own. And this tax policy is going to allow you to keep more of your money to actually, put food on your table, raise your family, and build a small business.
Congressman Troy Downing. Troy, thank you so much for your service militarily, but also your public service. And I know you got to run. Have a big, beautiful day, and have many big, beautiful days there.
Get into energy.
Congressman Troy Downing,
thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.